Good morning. It's so good to see everybody here this morning. We have people who are visiting with us. You're most welcome. My most honored guest, it is always our hope and always our desire to make you feel so welcome that you want to come back and worship God together with us again and to study with us from the Word of God whenever you're here in the Searcy area. My sermon this morning is going to begin over in the Colossian letter in chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. I'm reading from the outline right now. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Notice, if you will, here in verse 9. He says he wants them to be filled with the knowledge of his will. That's the knowledge of the will of God. To be filled with all wisdom. And he uses the phrase here, spiritual understanding. When I think about spiritual understanding, first of all, I'm thinking about things about God. God is spirit, the spiritual dimension. God, Jesus, heaven, the will of God. He wants us to be filled with this knowledge about spiritual understanding, filled with his understanding. And then he goes in the next part of this, and he says that you may walk worthy of the Lord. And then notice again the very last part of it, increasing in the knowledge of God. What God desires for all mankind is that we might be saved. But for us to be saved, we have to know the truth about him, the truth about what sin does to our relationship with him, the truth about God's way of making it possible for our sins to be forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus, his son, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the preaching of the gospel. And then an understanding of what the will of the Lord is on how to live our lives worthy of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that was made for us. He wants us, though, to have knowledge, to know the truth of all of this. What we're going to be doing in our sermon this morning, we're going to be looking at what I call different levels of spiritual understanding. And the very first part of it is going to be dealing with darkened understanding. Getting back to the outline now in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. This text, I believe, is one of the best texts to explain to you people who have what the scriptures describe as having darkened understanding. They don't see. They don't understand at all. He says that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, but notice how he explains the reason they got here, having their understanding darkened. I don't know about you, I like light. I really like it a lot. Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night and you know you didn't have to turn on the light because you know your room really well just to, and kick something? Have you ever walked into a room that wasn't your room and the light wasn't on? Did you try to turn on the light or did you just walk into it? I try to find the light and I try to turn it on as quick as I can because I can't see in the darkness. People's understanding is darkened. They don't see. They can't see. They can't see where they are, where they're going, where they came from. They don't understand anything. And then he explains how they got there. Because the ignorance that is in them. These people are, God calls them ignorant. They don't have any knowledge. Because of the blindness of their heart, there again is getting back to the concept of darkened. They can't see. They don't understand. Psalms 82 verse 5. It says, they do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. All right, that's more of a summary of it. You don't know. You don't understand. And so you walk about in darkness. Okay, let's take this now and bring it down to application. He wants us to have spiritual understanding. As I told you in the introduction, when we're talking about spiritual understanding, we're talking about spiritual matters. And the very foundation of all spiritual matters is the existence of God. Can you agree with that? That it all begins with there being a God. I believe it's over in Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So there we're talking about knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And where does it all start? The fear of the Lord. Realizing that there is a God and having the fear for God. I'm sad to say there's a lot of folks out in the world that don't even have that foundational concept. Sorry, but that's the reality. There's a lot of people that don't believe in God. Now, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then I think the opposite of that is true. The rejection of the existence of God is the beginning of no understanding. Foolishness, walking in darkness. If you reject God, everything that you build upon that comes from that is without understanding. So spiritual understanding starts with God, and then it goes from there to the revelation. The revelation of the Bible actually being the will and word of God. Now, in my Bible class this morning, I taught that when I was younger, I'm just being honest, my belief that the Bible was the will and word of God was because my mother and father said so, and my friends around me believed it. And it seemed that that was sufficient. But the truth of the matter is it was not. If your belief that the Bible is from God is simply because your mom and dad have said so, you need to get beyond that. You need to search the book out itself. You need to study it and spend time with it and ask yourself this question. Why would I believe this is actually from God? Why would I actually believe that what is written here is from the Creator? I'm not going to do it right now because I couldn't do it if I wanted to, because it's about 2 months worth of sermons. What I've done is I put together sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon to explain to you why I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I'll try to summarize it as quick as I can. First of all, I spent enough time with it to realize it doesn't have a bottom and it all ties together. It all ties together. It has one source, there's no doubt. It was spoken through many people, but it has one source, God. It is historically accurate, geographically accurate, prophetically accurate, scientifically accurate. It is total harmony and unity together. That's pretty quick. I got a whole sermon. I got series of sermons on prophetic accuracy. I got sermon on archaeology in the Bible, even kanji in the Bible, that's the Chinese language, in the Bible. I got all kinds of sermons on the historic accuracy, archaeology, scientific accuracy, the knowledge of Moses about medicine. I could go on and on and on. I have no doubt that this is the will and word of God, the Creator, because you see, that's so important. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I'll explain it to you this way. I want you to answer the big five questions without the Bible. It's going to be hard for you. You got to imagine you don't know anything in the Bible. Don't run to the Bible to answer the questions. Number one, what are you? Yeah, what are you? Number two, where did we come from? We're here. Where did we come from? Number three, what is death? I've deduced death is real. Went to my friend's funeral last week. Been doing funerals all month. What is death? Number four, is there anything beyond death? Is there existence after death? Number five, since I'm alive and there's a point in time when I'm going to die, so that means I have a life, how should I live my life to get the most out of it? Now then, what is my answer to those five questions without the Bible? Number one, what am I? I don't know. Number two, where did I come from? I don't know. Number three, what's death? I don't know. Number four, what's beyond death? I don't know. How should I live my life? Well, I don't know. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It is from the Word of God I get spiritual understanding about God and what He is like, that there is one God, that He is holy, that He loves me. Wow. The Creator knows me and loves me. And I come to understand that He created everything. And that He made man very special in the image of God. That I have a soul. You know, you got all kinds of these tests, Thomas. They're not going to see your soul in there. But I have a soul. And death is the separation of my spirit and my body. And there is existence beyond death. And not only that, God loved me so much He gave His Son to die for me. That Jesus really is His Son. He really is the Christ. And He was crucified so my sin that I stubbornly committed could be forgiven. And He rose from the dead. And because He rose from the dead, I have the hope of seeing my loved ones who have died already before me. I have actually the real hope of seeing them again and being with them again. I believe in heaven. You see, I'm talking about spiritual matters. From God to the Bible, and then from the Bible to God and Jesus and the gospel and salvation. All of that is spiritual understanding. And He wants us to have knowledge and understanding about His will. Unfortunately, there are people who don't know. They don't understand. And they walk about in darkness. You see them all the time. You just listen, you hear them. And you're hearing people talking and you're going, wait a minute, that's not right. No, it's not true. No, you're going the wrong way. Don't you understand? And the answer is, no, they don't understand. There it is. Ephesians 5 now, 6 through 10. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Now look at the phrases that we have in this text here. First of all, let no one deceive you. Notice how he describes their words. Empty words. It's not on the sermon outline. No, I don't see it down there. One of my favorite phrases, you find it in Jude and 2 Peter.
great swelling words
of emptiness.
Sounds like there's something there. Sounds like this person knows what they're talking about. But there's nothing there. Unfortunately, though, there are going to be people in the world who will listen to the great swelling words of emptiness and believe there's something there. And believe it's the truth, so much so that they become deceived by the empty words. He talks about and warns them about not being partakers with them. But then he admonishes them to walk as children of light. And notice the very last phrase here, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do you do that? How do you find out what's acceptable to the Lord? By going to His Word. By just going to His Word. Colossians now. Well, I want to go back to this. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Now, Colossians 2 and 4. And Colossians 2 and 4 says, now this I say, lest anyone deceive you with persuasive words. So you got empty words, and now you've got persuasive words. Do you know what I'm trying to do right now? I'm trying to persuade you. I'm trying to persuade you about God, about the Bible, about Jesus, about Christianity. I'm trying to persuade you to get to the point to where you're going, you know, I think what that preacher's saying is true. Okay. There are folks out there who are using deceptive, empty words, and they're trying to persuade you. Do not be persuaded by things that are not true. Look at this warning over in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you. How? Through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, not according to Christ. Now look at this. First of all, it's a warning about someone deceiving you and cheating you, cheating you out of your inheritance. And how they do this is philosophy. Philosophy is basically made up by men. I took philosophy in school. Got an A in it. Didn't have a clue what the whole class was about. And all I could do was memorize, and whenever they would say the guy's name, I would write down what was on the page. Years passed, and I remember as a young preacher, I decided I'm going to go back and I'm going to study my philosophy books again, and this time I'm going to understand it. And so I got my books out on philosophy, and I started reading it, and I was like, what is this? And I just finally laid it down and said, I give, this is crazy. But then one night it finally dawned on me what it's all about. If there is no God, fill in the blank. That's all these philosophies were. Were men trying to answer the big five questions I asked you earlier without God? The scripture here warns us about this. Where you have somebody out there trying to answer the questions of life, and they're just making it up from their own feelings and their own imaginations. And again, notice he calls it empty deceit. Empty words, persuasive words, according to the tradition of men. People made it up. And not according to Christ. 2 Peter, chapter 2 this time. I'm starting here in verse 15 on the outline. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand. But look at this next thing. Which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. All right. First of all, he tells you about the writing of the Apostle Paul. And he says some of his writings are hard to understand. Yeah. Amen. Anybody here ever studied Romans? Kind of some deep meat there. Okay. But notice what he says about this. He talks about untaught, unstable people. They're untaught. What that means is they don't know what the book says. They don't know what the will of the Lord is. They don't know what the Word of God says. And so they're untaught. And because they're untaught, they're unstable. And so what they do is they take the Scriptures and they twist them and they distort them to make them teach what they want them to teach. You need to realize that's what false teachers have done for millennia. They will have a direction they want to go in, what they want to do, and they realize you're looking to the Bible as your guidance, and so they will go to the Bible and they will find some verse and try to twist it and distort it and say, see, it fits. It's teaching you what I'm telling you, now follow what I'm saying. I want all of you to give me your attention right now because I want to tell you something you've got to learn. Your job as listeners to anyone who's teaching you anytime ever is to test what is being taught. Test all things to make sure if I'm using a scripture, I'm using it correctly. If it's the truth, hold to it. If it's not, let it go. Do not accept what someone says, including me, just because I say it. Test it by the Word of God. Find out what's acceptable to the Lord. Find out if it's what the Bible really does teach. Then believe it. Then practice it. He goes on further in the text. He says, beware. There's a warning again. Beware. Lest you also fall into your own steadfast from your own steadfastness and being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This is the close of the text here. This is the way 2 Peter closes. It closes with that same warning. Beware. You remember? Colossians 2, 8. Beware lest any man spoil you. Beware lest you fall away. And someone's leading you away with their error. So how do you stop that? You grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now this is going to be leading to the rest of the sermon. How do you do that? You do that by reading the Bible. In Matthew 7, 21 through 23, you have to me one of the scariest texts in the entire Bible. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. As you continue the text here, he says in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, in your name have we not prophesied, in your name cast out demons, in your name done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You know why it's a scary verse? I don't want this to be me. I don't want judgment day to come and me to be thinking I'm doing good, I'm ready, I'm prepared, just to be told, I don't know you. I don't want to hear that. What is this text talking about? What this text is talking about is people who are practicing what he calls here lawlessness. They have no law for their actions. They're not following God. They're following someone else out there, but it's not God. That's why he says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but who? He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's why we need to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. So we then by faith can do it. Isn't that easy to see? Just find out what the will of the Lord is. Go to the book. Go to the Bible and just read it. Whatever it says, do, do it. I'm going to compare some verses here now. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Ephesians 5, 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
How do you understand? You go to the Bible and read it. Now going back to Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Again from the outline. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be, look at this, filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I want you to see the text we just read here is what we open with, actually. He talks about increasing in the knowledge of God. What we read to you earlier, if you just flip your page back over in 2 Peter, the very last thing he says in the last revelation of Peter is grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Jesus Christ, Savior Jesus Christ. What is God's desire for all of us? He wants us to grow in our knowledge of His will. What that means, brethren, is quite simply, you need to spend time reading the Bible. By the way, it's a wonderful time to be alive. My wife has this app that she's put on my phone as well. We can touch a button and my phone reads the Bible to me. What a time to be alive. I'm telling you, folks, if you're not doing this, you need to get this app on your phone or your iPad. All you can do is just touch the button and somebody's reading the Bible to you. And make no mistake about it, folks. You're listening, just listening, it starts getting in there. How many of you have memorized songs that you haven't memorized? You know every word in a song, you know every note in a song, and you can sing the entire song, note and words together without missing a beat or a word. Amazing the thing the mind is, isn't it? You just listen and it goes in there. So read it yourself or listen to it, and it will go into your mind. Let's continue with this now. Going over to Ephesians this time, chapter 1, 17 through 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding, look at this, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. I call this spiritual vision, to where you are able to see the unseen by faith. I haven't seen the resurrection, but I can go to 1 Corinthians 15 and look at it through the eyes of faith as I read about it. I haven't seen the spiritual body, but I can go to 1 Corinthians 15 and read about it and see it through the eyes of faith. Haven't seen heaven, but I can go to the Bible and read about it and see it through the eyes of faith. Faith is dealing with things not seen, but I believe it's true. I believe in the resurrection. And the joy I have is because I do believe in the resurrection. And the joy I have is because I do believe I've been forgiven, even though I don't deserve it. And I have the hope of being with God. I believe all of this. Get back to the verse and read it with me again. May give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. I see, I understand, and I'm going to walk in the light now as a child of light, because I see the way to go. Ephesians, again, chapter 3 now, verses 3 through 4. Have that by revelation you made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When you read, you can understand. A lot of it, I understand, is hard to understand. I got that. Romans, the book of Revelation, that's meat. That's heavy meat. But guess what? You can understand them. But the bulk of what you need to know in order to become saved and stay saved is milk. I have a sermon that Gary and I recorded one time. It's on the internet. It's on our website. Where I tell you everything you need to know and believe and do in order to become saved and stay saved in less than a minute. Yep. Okay, hold on. Go. You need to believe in God. You need to come to understand that the Bible really is the revelation from God. And when you read it, you're going to come to understand that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God. That He died for your sins. That He was buried and rose again the third day. And the way we become saved is by our faith in Him and putting our trust in what He is telling us. And so we confess our faith, driven by our faith, we repent, and then we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, and then we rise to walk in newness of life and live by faith for the rest of our life, keeping the will of God in our life by faith, learning to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbors yourself, coming together with brethren on the first day of the week to worship God together. It's milk. God wants you to understand. Could you understand what I just said to you? All right. I do. And walk in the light and live your life as a child of God with joy, looking to what's coming in your future. We're going to be with God. We're going to heaven, folks. It's real. And we're going there. Colossians now, chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you in all wisdom, richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Here he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, all wisdom. I've asked y'all this question before. It's a simple question. If I have a glass up here and I fill it with water and I turn it sideways, what's going to come out? Water. Yeah. If you take your mind and you fill your mind with the Word of God to where it's dwelling in you richly, if you're going to be living by faith, what's going to be coming out in your actions? Word of God. In a nutshell, Christianity is following the Word of God by faith. So if you let the Word of God fill up your mind and fill up your heart, and then you're living by faith, what's going to be coming out is God. Going back to Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, he says that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Do you see when you put the two verses together how they go together? Let the mind of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. They're saying the same thing. You increase in the knowledge of God, and then the close of Peter, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, this isn't hard to see. You're in Christ. Now dive into the Word of God. Soak it in. Read it. Spend time with the Word of our God. Folks, it's wonderful. I am a preacher of the Word. I've now spent over four decades giving my life to it. I don't know exactly when it happened. But I'll tell you and tell the world now. I love the Bible more than anything in life. It is my life. It is everything to me. And if it's coming across in my sermons that that's what it means to me, you figured it out.
You're missing out if you're not spending time with the Word of God. Dive in. Let it fill up your soul, fill up your heart, fill up your mind. It will draw you closer to God. It will help you understand His will and His love for you. It will strengthen your joy and your peace and your hope.
Let's close with Ephesians 4, 20 through 21. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. I'm trying to learn Jesus. I'm trying to learn what He's like. Because you see, when I learn what Jesus is like, I understand what God is like. And when I understand what God is like through Jesus, I have better spiritual understanding. And as I have better spiritual understanding, what it concludes with is, I find I love my God and I love Jesus even more and more when I understand their love for me and everything that has been done and is being done for me because of their love for me. How can I but love my God back and love my Lord and my King Jesus back and want to live a life pleasing to them? I feel for the people out in the world who are in darkness. I grieve for them. I hurt for them. Because they don't have understanding. And they're stumbling in the darkness out there. And they're lost. There are people in the world who are sincerely deceived. Because they've listened to empty words, persuasive words that came from the minds of men and not God. Our job, everyone's job, is to test everything that's being taught and ask ourselves, is this the will of God or not? Is the scripture being used correctly or not? If it is the truth, believe it, obey it, live by it. If it's not, let it go. Let it go. But you, in your own life, you spend time with the Bible on your own, reading it, listening to it. You will be drawing closer to God. He will draw closer to you. And that relationship with God, you'll draw strength from God, peace from God, hope. And in the end, you have to be with God. You have to be with Jesus in the end. Because God and Jesus and being with Him is everything. And it is through His will and His word I have understanding and I find my way to God. I thank you for your kind understanding and listening. If there's anybody here this morning who is not in Christ yet, it is our hope and our desire and our wish for you that you would get in Christ as quickly as you can. The way you get there is by faith that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of God. Be willing to openly confess your faith and driven by your faith, make the great commitment of repentance. That is to follow the Word of God by faith. When He tells you to put things off and the sins that you're doing, you put it off. When He tells you to put things on and to do things, you do them. And you strive to learn what Jesus is like and strive to be like Him more by faith every day of your life. That's a big commitment, isn't it? It's the biggest commitment of your life. But if you're willing to make that great commitment, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're in Christ already and you realize there's sin between you and your God, sin you haven't dealt with, we want to encourage you to deal with it as quickly as you can. Take this sin to God, confess it to Him, and pray for forgiveness and turn from it. We will pray for you as your family. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know. while we stand and sing the song that has been selected.